right up, ladies and gentlemen. We've got single board computers, we've got high-end computing, we've got DO-254, and we've got me. What more could you want? About 400 emails about that GDPR business. Okay, probably not. Hi there. Welcome to Amelia's Weekly Fish Fry, brought to you by EEJournal.com and hosted by me, Amelia Dalton. Embedded computing is the name of the game this week. First up, Roy Keeler joins us from AD-Link to chat about processor speed bumps, spectrum dominance, the future of GPPs, and more. Let's go. My guest today is Roy Keeler from AD-Link. Thank you so much for joining me, Roy.
Well, thank you, Amelia. It's nice to be here.
Okay, so first off, you guys have been on my show a couple times in the past. Give my audience a quick recap on what AD-Link is all about.
AD-Link is a designer and manufacturer of high-end embedded computing products, spanning different bus architectures from COM Express to VPX and VME. Our focus is the industrial Internet of Things, and as such, we are one of the major suppliers to that technology throughout the world.
Very cool. Okay, so we're at the Embedded Tech Trends Conference this year, and your presentation was called Meeting Military Data Signal Analysis Imperatives. So, Roy, what are the biggest challenges in this space?
The biggest challenges that the military faces today is information dominance. In order to control a battle space, you need to be able to control the spectrum. And so this discussion that we had at the Embedded Tech Trends Symposium had to do with using general purpose processors to gain signal intelligence in the battle space and how we help fighter by doing that.
Okay, so let's talk about CPUs, GPUs, FPGAs. We're all trying to get the lowest power with the biggest performance we can, but there's another option in this arena, right?
Well, yes, there is. As you say, they were trying to get the biggest bang for the buck, right? Basically. Traditionally, processing has been done by CPUs. When we look at Intel with their i86 type family, we use that in our PCs, we use that in our cell devices. Well, that runs into a speed bump at a certain frequency, a certain clock frequency. And at that point, you get a negative return on performance. So how do you overcome those types of obstacles? And one of the big drivers of this spectrum dominance desire by the Defense Department is the speed of data acquisition and processing. So you can get this information very quickly, process the information, and then bring it out to the forward edge of the battle area to help the warfighter. So once you hit a speed bump on processor speed, then you have to look at different constructs. How do we process that data? Well, one way of doing that is through massive parallel processing, where you're processing data in a very large data set. You break it into smaller pieces and process the individual pieces. Well, one of the things that they noticed back in the early 2000s was that the GPPs or GPUs lend itself very well for doing massive parallel processing. Now, if you're familiar with GPPs, they started out in the gaming industry. So high-end GeForce gaming type products. Well, the Defense Department now and the systems integrators approach this also with the idea that they now can take this very high processing bandwidth system and use that to do digital signal processing on these data signals. Now, that does not mean you don't need a CPU, and it does not mean you need other technologies, right? But this is one of the enabling technologies that fits in between basically the CPU and the front end data acquisition system.
Okay, so we talked about Mil-Aero, but are there other applications beyond Mil-Aero?
Absolutely. When you look at the commercial side of things, out at the edge of the cloud, we're finding now that you need high-speed processing in order to enable things like artificial intelligence, virtual machines. These are all technologies that are being used now in things such as automotive. We're having self-driving cars now. GPPs play a major role in providing that type of technology. They take multiple sensor inputs, aggregate that data, and then provide the controls to operate the vehicle.
All right, Roy, it's time for your off-the-cuff question. Now, let's talk about whitewater rafting. Where's your favorite place in the whole world to go rafting?
Well, actually, a whitewater kayak, which is different than whitewater rafting.
Yes.
I've whitewater kayaked throughout the world. I've whitewater kayaked in the headwaters of the Amazon, which was very exciting. And I live in Washington, D.C., and Washington, D.C. happens to have some of the world's best whitewater 8 miles from the city in a place called Great Falls, Virginia. So if you ever happen to be in D.C., that's an unbelievable spot. So that is my favorite spot to whitewater kayak.
Very cool. Now, I have gone kayaking, but I have not gone whitewater kayaking, right? Awesome. Well, I think that's all I have time for today. Thank you so much for joining me, Roy.
Thank you, Amelia. It was my pleasure.
As C.S. Woolley once said, you can't take over the world without a good acronym. Well, apparently, me and my next guest are taking over the world. Mike Slanoski from Curtis Wright joins me, and we're talking about SBCs, VPX, DO-254, and multinational cruises. Thought I was going to list another acronym, didn't you? Let's go.
My guest today is Mike Slanoski from Curtis Wright. Thank you so much for joining me, Mike.
Oh, you're welcome.
Okay, so first off, for my 1% of my audience who may not know who Curtis Wright is, what are you guys all about?
The business unit that I'm in Curtis Wright is Curtis Wright Defense Solutions. And in Curtis Wright Defense Solutions, we basically provide single board computers, switching systems, et cetera, into the embedded, mostly mil aerospace. And sure. So we consider ourselves to be a premier provider of that equipment to military applications around the world. 70% of our business is in the U.S., about 30% worldwide. So we're definitely a worldwide company.
So you guys just announced a new 3U VPX solution. So tell me more about this solution. Where is it going? What is it designed for?
The solution we just announced is something we call a VPX 3-1703. It's a ARM-based single board computer designed specifically for use in safety certifiable applications. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean you couldn't use it somewhere else, but sure. The fact is we've designed it such that the pedigree behind it customers can take and go through a certification in safety certifiable applications. So what that means is we're designing it to what's called DO-254, and it's a standard of how you design hardware for safety certifiable applications. It should be usable into what's called a Dell A level, which is the highest level, and it's ARM-based. We're using a device from NXP called the LS1043A. It's a 4-core A53 ARM processor, because what we're seeing with the power architecture slowing down, meaning NXP is not going to do any more power architecture devices, you know, there's got to be a replacement for it, right? Yeah. You can go to other architectures, but we look at ARM as basically being an excellent substitute for power for several reasons. One, it's low power, depending on the device you get, yeah. Right? NXP is very open with providing the artifacts that user would need to take and use to certify that type of application. It tends to be quite powerful as well, right? And so for those reasons, going ARM, we think, is a way that people will be moving to in the future, replacing power architecture once power sort of declines. Now, I'm not saying power, you know, was disappearing tomorrow, because right. It'll still be around for a decade or two, right? Yeah. Because they're always there and they're always making them, right? But right. Something's got to take over, and we think ARM is going to be that replacement for power. So that should be you know, something that we're releasing. It'll be available later this year in early access units, right? And then probably about another year after that, we'll be in the process of doing all the design artifacts that would need to support it.
Okay, so you guys are also using this same core architecture for CMOS applications, right?
Yeah, we're also designing an ARM-based, I'd call it single board computer, but it's not really a single board computer. It's an ARM-based card that will be usable in CMOS applications. We'll be announcing that later this year, probably in the Q3 timeframe. And then we're also taking that core, and essentially the processing core, and we're going to use it in another design that we'll be announcing towards the end of the year, early next year. And so this time next year, you'll hear another application from us that will be surrounding ARM as well. We're looking at ARM as basically being something that people are going to move to. Sure. They basically haven't done that too much yet, although it is being used in things like the Xilinx UltraScale Plus. You know, there's ARM cores in there. Sure. That's starting to be adopted, right? But now we're looking at developing single board computers that'll be using ARM technology as well. And so that's where we see that technology moving to in the future.
All right, Mike, it's time for your off-the-cuff question. I know you've gone on some cruises lately. Tell me, what was the coolest cruise you've gone on recently?
The coolest cruise. Last year, my wife and I went on one that was down in the APAC region. They left out of Singapore, went around to Vietnam, up into Hong Kong, into Philippines, and then back into Singapore. And so I think the most interesting thing I had was visiting Vietnam. It was a very different place, just watching all these scooters driving by with with families of four on a little scooter. Or we saw this one in which the scooter went by, and the guy had a pig and a cage on the back of it, right, going, how do they do that? Like, and then there was another scooter that must have been four dozen eggs stacked up in the back, right? So, that was really impressive. Like, and if I had the opportunity, I'd go back and visit a few more places in Vietnam. Very, very interesting country, very beautiful. This year, we're doing another cruise, but it's more into China this year. So that'll be interesting.
Excellent. That sounds super cool. Well, I think that's all I have time for today. Thank you so much for joining me, Mike.
You're welcome. Anytime. Thank you.
We couldn't have an acronym-filled episode of Amelia's Weekly Fish Fry without the biggest acronym of them all, right? Yes, the I to the O to the T. Now, if you're in the IoT designing business, you know that in order to get your IoT product to market fast, you need a capable development platform and processor. Getting rid of the friction in your development process can help keep your schedule on track. In a recent episode of Chalk Talk called Smart IoT Design, I sit down with Mark Ruthenbach of NXP, and we talk about the latest generation of the i.MX 8M development platform from NXP that will allow you to get your next IoT design up and running before you know it. But you probably will know it, because, right, you're the one designing it. Anyway, you can check out this episode of Chalk Talk by heading on over to the Chalk Talk section of eejournal.com. Can't miss it, right on the top. Or you can click the link below the player on this week's Fish Fryin' page. Or, even better, check out YouTube, keyword EE Journal. Hey, have you checked out EE Journal on social media yet? Well, you should. You can find us at facebook.com/EEJournal. If you're into Twitter, you can monitor our tweets at EEJournalTFM. And yeah, if LinkedIn is your thing, well, sure, you can follow us on LinkedIn as well. And we have that YouTube channel I mentioned earlier, keyword EE Journal. Folks, it is chock full of all kinds of super cool techie videos, including our very popular Chalk Talk webcast series. And you can subscribe to our EE Journal YouTube channel as well. I'm just saying. Also, by clicking the links below the player on this week's Fish Fryin' page, you can check out the Fish Fry archive or subscribe to Fish Fry via the iTunes store. And remember, if you want any further information about the stories covered in today's show, just head on over to eejournal.com and look for this week's Fish Fryin' page. Thank you, everyone, for tuning in. If you know of any cool new technology, any fun EE conference coming up that I absolutely should attend, see you at the Design Automation Conference in just a couple weeks, or even the best geeky hotspot in your city. I love that stuff. Shoot me a line at amelia@eejournal.com or post a comment on our forums on EE Journal. For the week of May 25th, 2018, I'm Amelia Dalton, and you've been fried.